22, Dalai Bali Monks, remembers his life, text 29 and 30, which are not on the board. Sinaritas chitastana, xito madas chasatuve, gyatavis chaparityakyo, yatana mahamuyapita, guru navarsita sattu, jahu satyam nasurata chalaruta maya dano nayam chalchi satchava xinarita. Although bereft of all riches, chuta fallen, stana from his superior position, Ksitta, forcefully thrown away. Buddha, cha, and forcefully bound. Shatruvi, by his enemies. Gyatibi, cha, and by his family members or relatives. Parityaktaha, deserted. Yatanam,
all kinds of suffering.
Aniyapitaha, unusually severely suffered. Guruna, by a spiritual master. Bhartsitaha, rebuked. Saptaha, cursed. Jaho gave up. Satyam, truthfulness. Na, not. Subrata,
being fixed in his vow.
Chalai, pretentiously. Upta, spoken. Maya, by me. Dhammaha, the religious principle. Na, not. Ayam, this body Maharaj. Chatyati, does give up. Satyava, being true to his word. Translation. Although bereft of his riches, fallen from his original position, defeated and arrested by his enemies, rebuked and deserted by his relatives and friends, although suffering the pain of being bound, and although rebuked and cursed by his spiritual master, Bali Maharaj, being fixed in his vow, did not give up his truthfulness. It was certainly with pretension that I spoke about religious principles, but he did not give up religious principles, for he is true to his word. Bali Maharaj passed the severe test before him by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is further proof of the Lord's mercy towards his devotee. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes puts a devotee to severe tests that are almost unbearable. One could hardly even live under the conditions forced upon Bali Maharaj. That Bali Maharaj endured all these severe tests and austerities is the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The Lord certainly appreciates the devotee's forbearance, and it is recorded for the future glorification of the devotee. This was not an ordinary test. As described in this verse, hardly anyone could survive such a test. But for the future glorification of Bali Maharaj, one of the Mahajans, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only tested him, but also gave him the strength to tolerate such adversity. The Lord is so kind to his devotee that when severely testing him, the Lord gives him the necessary strength to be tolerant and continue to remain a glorious devotee. So, Lord Vamanadeva reciprocated with the surrender of Bali Maharaj quite roughly. He punished him. First, he took everything away, and not just a little, because Bali Maharaj had the three worlds, and then he arrested him and had him captured in that same noose that strangled him and suffocated him and brought him on the verge of basically feeling his strength slipping away. So much difficulty, and yet it is explained that Bali Maharaj endured everything because he was truthful to his word. He had given his word, and therefore he was enduring everything simply like that. Even the punishment, because he had promised. He had promised the Lord 3 steps of land, and really he gave only 2, because the Lord took everything with 2 steps. So he even accepted the punishment. What can I do? And subsequently, Srila Prabhupada is commenting that the testing was not only to see that Bali Maharaj indeed was fixed, not only to purify Bali Maharaj further from any remaining impurities in his heart. Just as, for example, we see the gopis in Vrindavan who were called by Krishna at night. Some of these gopis could not leave the house to meet Krishna because they were checked by their family members. And then it is explained that this obstacle that they faced was creating suffering, and that suffering was the last purification they still required to sort of become free from the last traces of material contamination. So one might say Bali Maharaj was going through all these difficulties, A, to be tested, to see how much he was really serious about sticking to his word. B, he was going through the suffering to be purified from any last remaining material contamination. And Srila Prabhupada gives a third reason. And the third reason is that Krishna is Trikalagya. Krishna sees past, present, and future. So therefore Krishna was understanding that Bali Maharaj had a great role to play by his act. That it was not just a personal act, but that this act also had a public consequence, and that Bali Maharaj was, by his extraordinary example, to be an example to all, and that therefore he would be considered one of the 12 Mahajans, one of the 12 great personalities that are referred to in scriptures, not only in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but in many of the Puranas we find references to the 12 Mahajans, and many of the Puranas are referring to them. For example, the pastime of Prahlad and Nrsimha is dealt with extensively in Bhagavatam, but also dealt with in other Puranas. So these are very prominent personalities and stand there as an example. And one can easily, in that way, draw the parallel where one can see that our life also creates tests. We also face hardship, and it is those tests that one has to pass, and those tests are our purification. So many of us can have a story to tell. Practically everyone has a story to tell if you go this way. And each of these stories are not so easy. And then you wonder, even after we became devotees, you thought, well, okay, maybe before we came to Krishna consciousness, all right. But then after, you expect that it's smooth sailing, yeah, basically, right, on the right path. So Krishna is helping me, you know, the ship of transcendental knowledge is crossing the ocean and there are favorable winds. And we just blow across like that to the other side. And then, just as we're in the middle, there come the waves. Serious waves. Suddenly the sky gets dark. I say, what is this? Krishna, help. Storms and Who knows, you know, even super whales appear with big teeth and all these things. Anything is possible. That's the material world. Anything can happen, any moment. I have experienced that anything can happen. I was in Mayapur, and at 6 in the morning, I'm staying up in the conch building somewhere in the very top of the building. Suddenly, at 6 o'clock, it sounded like someone was coming with a sledgehammer through the wall. I thought, what's happening? You know, like really, someone attacked the wall. Next moment, the wall just cracked. Next moment, the floor cracked. I didn't know I had wings, but I have. I flew out of the room within 20 seconds. I flew out of the room with all my valuables, mind you. I grabbed everything and flew out. It was quite interesting. And anything can happen, any moment. The unexpected. I thought maybe a dinosaur would stick its head to the floor now or something, but nothing of that. Later on, the only thing I could think of, some sort of whiplash from Earth, little earthquake. That sort of explained it. Or because there was no crack anywhere else in the building. Anyway, it was exciting. Unexpected. Something you think that will not happen, but it happened. Many other tests. I was in India in 79, and suddenly I got a notice that I had to leave the country within 3 days. What to do? I had to leave. So I went to Nepal. I came to Nepal, and now Mahavishnu Swami, he was the temple president, and they were getting some bus, but they didn't have enough money, so they wanted the bus to go from Kathmandu to Europe and take hippie passengers who were paying, and then at the end of the journey the bus would be ours. So they asked me to go on the bus. I thought, yeah, more exciting than waiting for a new visa in Kathmandu. Some excitement. And I went. But we didn't read newspapers in those days, because that was Maya, right? Gosh, you know. A newspaper, a total Maya. So I missed the news that Khomeini had taken over Iran. I didn't know until we came to the border and heard about it, that things were a little bit exciting over there. But some buses had gone through Iran and they said it was all right, so we went. About 80 kilometers from Tehran, there was a man with a beard, a cap, army uniform, machine gun, looked like Fidel Castro's brother. And he stood there and he told us to stop. Well, a machine gun is a good argument to stop. So we stopped. And he got on board and he said, we're going to the revolutionary headquarters. And he said, of course, sir, yes, sir. We went there and there was a huge crowd of people, turbans and kaftans and like this, raising their arms in a violent way, and they were sort of, Fidel told us to get off the bus, so instead of looking at the machine gun at the people, it was worse. So, well, machine gun wins, so we got off the bus. And the people made a pathway for us to go into some army barracks. And as we're walking through these lines of people, they start to, with their fists, hit us on the back. So we started running. We ran into a gate, come into a courtyard, and the soldiers are waiting for us. And we hear the machine gun, and they say, line up against the wall. And there we're standing. And I was, and there was a whole line of us, a few devotees and our passengers on the bus, the hippies. So I was standing next to someone, and I was chanting Hare Krishna, not too obvious.
Because I didn't want to attract some bullets, but I said,
but I didn't have full faith in the Holy Name, because I got this ridiculous plan. But somehow, I know it was a crazy plan, but somehow or other, I needed a plan right there and then. So I had this plan to move very slowly, almost invisibly. But I was definitely moving until half of my body was behind my neighbor. Sneaky as I am. So I had this plan. As soon as I see a sign that they're going to shoot, I drop sideways. I'll be behind the people. And if I'm lucky, the bullet won't go through him into me. And the human shield, and I'll end dead. What happens after that, I wasn't sure. A crazy plan. But it was interesting. Afterwards, I was thinking, just see, you didn't have the faith to just fully rely on Krishna. Like Draupadi, who was in the midst of that assembly of heavy, heavy kshatriyas, you know, a slender lady, Dusasana, you know, like a guy with muscle, serious kshatriya, is going to disrobe her in public. What's she gonna do? What chance does he have? She held on for a moment to that cloth, but it didn't last because she realized there's no point in this. She threw her arms up in the air and said, "Hey Govinda," and fully put her faith in Krishna. And in this way, I was put to shame by Draupadi there in Iran as I stood against the wall and lacked the faith to fully rely on Krishna at that time, and instead start to rely on my ridiculous material plan. And this is how it is. So many tests may come, and we may not necessarily pass them all in a brilliant way. Some we may not pass, but one thing is for sure, that somehow or other we need to. Krishna wants to see that we actually give ourselves to Him. So if you don't pass the test now, then, all right, wait, and it will come again. And now that I'm telling stories, I may as well tell another story.
Wait, what happened to the...
We got shot. Obviously not. You want the whole story now? Alright. So, we're standing there for a long time. Now, before we went in the country, we heard that there was an uprising against America. So we had asked the Americans to get down off the bus. So we had no Americans. That was good. And sure enough, at one point, they start taking us out of the line, one by one. Then they took me out of the line. And they take me into this room, and there is the chair, and the light, and everything, and the interrogation room. And oh boy, here we go. You know, it's like, you think of Amnesty International and torture stories. So, they set me down and said, "In English, you are an American spy." And I said, "I don't speak English. Ich bin von Holland. Holland, ja, Holland." I was more Dutch than Dutch. Boy, was I Dutch. And I spoke as much, so much Dutch, you know, like I've never heard before. With the heaviest Dutch accent I've ever imagined. So, I cannot speak English, no, Holland, you know. Anyway, so finally, they said,
He's from Holland. And then they send me back in the line. You know, so back in the line, and then I'm told they're going to say, "I think we're American spies." You know, like, the others were still being interrogated. No one had come back, but somehow I got back in the line looking at me again in front of the machine guns. Then there was a German hippie named Wolf, and he was selling us the bus. So that was the deal, is he would drive us to Istanbul, take the money from the passengers, and then the bus was ours. So that's what happened. So Wolf was like basically a Ksatria, a German Ksatria, blonde with a big top knot. Tough like nails. My God, was he tough. So suddenly, Wolf ran out of the line. I thought he'd gone mad. A sunstroke or something. He just ran towards the firing squad. I thought he's lost it. Then there was a football lying there, and he kicked the ball. And then some other German also ran out of the line, and he got the ball, and they kicked it up and down. Well, you know, the soldiers were screaming, and like, everywhere doors opened, officers came running out, huge commotion, and then finally, after a big discussion, the army officer said, "Get out of here. We got out of here. We got out of here." The story goes on and on and on, and I'll tell the rest later over lunch, okay? Because, you know, I want to stick to the Bible, so. I can invite you all for lunch. But let me first do some Bible. This is not the, you know. So the point is we are being tested. But as Srila Prabhupada shows that, one thing I very much like about Srila Prabhupada is that his life was so difficult. And his preaching was so difficult. You can't just give a long, long list of trouble. I mean, job, no money, somehow or other, translating books in India, still in Radha-Dhamma, struggling it out in Delhi, to get something printed, finally he's got it, then still no money, no support. The difficulty gets this crossing on the ship, but it's like rough, you know, gets two heart attacks on the way just to start off with, another one in New York, and it just goes on and on and on. In his early days when he was still in Calcutta, started translating Bhagavad Gita, got stolen, but started again, and nothing could deter him. No matter what obstacle, he just never gave up. Never, ever. And that is like Prabhupada's test. Could not be discouraged by anything. Right? Although he felt discouraged at times. He was human. For example, it is said that in the beginning, in New York, Prabhupada would sometimes check with the Scindia steamship company if there were any ships going back to India in case he would fail. So it was not unreasonable, but he wasn't going to give up. He just didn't give up. He said, "No, I have not failed yet." It was really, if I fail, I'll go back. But he just was that kind of person. I haven't failed yet, because he can try again. And that spirit of just never failing and trying again, that's really such an outstanding quality. And that's like made him so glorious. And one can think, yes, here is Srila Prabhupada. He's the founder acharya of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He went all alone without any support. He had to create it all himself. Now here we are, his followers.
And we have to face many difficulties in pushing on this movement or maintaining it or whatever. That is a fact. We do. But nobody can say that we have it more difficult than Prabhupada. Nobody can say that. That's like the interesting part where you can see Prabhupada in great difficulty persevered. And whatever difficulty we go through is a token. It's a token. Because nowadays, these sannyasis, there are four stages of sannyas. The first stage is known as kutichak, where traditionally the sannyasi would get a cottage outside the village where he used to live. And in the beginning, the villagers are still coming and they bring something to eat. So he says they're very renounced, but they feed him nicely in his cottage. Then the sannyasi becomes more advanced, and he becomes Bahuduk. He goes, first is Kutichak, then he's Bahuduk. He goes around and he just begs a little bit from every house. And there are some rules in the scriptures, like it said, you cannot be too selective, you cannot wait and sort of look at the houses where a lot of smoke is coming from the chimneys and then wait a while, right? You see sort of lunchtime is approaching, and then you look at the chimneys, you see where is a lot of smoke coming, then you wait the time it takes to cook a meal, and then you sort of like knock at the door. No? Just not even calculating, going from door to door. So he follows all these rules, doing manukari, collecting a little bit from here and there. Then the next stage, he is Parivrajaka Acharya. He is traveling everywhere and preaching everywhere. Right? So sometimes, and the final stage is Paramahansa, completely transcendental and, now a resident, a fully realized, liberated soul. Fine, So sometimes I've heard in ISKCON, we don't really do that, these first two stages, this Kutichak and this Bahuduk, right? We go straight to Parivrajaka Acharya, right? Yes, we travel all over the world, but only to fly into an airport, to be picked up and to be brought straight to our kutir, right? We don't have one kutir, we have kutirs all over the world. So sometimes I think we're still in Kutichak. We just stayed in Kutichak. We have nice kutirs everywhere, and they bring the lunch, the villagers, the local villagers. See? So maybe we're just Kutichak. So it's like previously we see how these sannyasis, it says in Bhagavad Gita that for a sannyasi, the prescribed duty is abhayasa prasana sujir. Hey! Shh! Shh! For the sannyasis, there is jnana yoga vihastitaha. Abhayasa prasana sama sujir. That means you must be fearless. And so they would go into forests, because in forests there are tigers. But they would have to just be there and not be afraid of the tiger. Can you do that? Go into a forest and tiger is waiting. You will not go. But the sannyasis would have to go and rely on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they have to develop that reliance on the Supreme Lord, abhayansa prasana sujir. And they would have to cultivate transcendental knowledge. So that's not so easy. Therefore, in the purports to the first canto, Srila Prabhupada writes, Those men in this age of Kali who dress up like sannyasis. He mentioned it in one book, and I noted it. So, took it personal. What can I say? We have to somehow or other. It's not a small thing. We really have to have that abhayam, that spirit of fearlessness and sacrifice. So that we see in Prabhupada. Not going just into the forest with the tigers, but going into the concrete jungle of New York City. I don't know if you go to New York, but New York is one of those places, right, where you always know where you're going to be and which time of the day. Yeah? For example, you're not going to walk in Central Park at night. Yeah, that's like not something you do. You just don't do that. Like one lady in New York met a devotee, and she was really interested in Krishna consciousness and said, like, oh, it's so nice, so nice. Do you have a place here in New York? Do you have a place? And the devotee said, yeah, we have a place. It's in Brooklyn. And the lady said, oh, it might as well be in Asia. You know, it's sort of this Brooklyn, forget it. Nobody goes to Brooklyn because just behind the temple is Fulton Mall, and it's full-on mall, you know, because right there you see the blacks with big ghetto blasters dressed in Muslim dress, and then you walk there, all orange as a Hare Krishna, you realize two times wrong. Wrong color, wrong religion. So it's just New York's like that. I used to be in Brooklyn in front of the temple 6 in the morning. I see this guy walking around with a huge big pipe wrench. Right? And I'm wondering, what's he carrying this big pipe wrench for? Is he a plumber? Maybe I should go. So I decided, well, maybe I'll go inside and let him pass, just in case. It's that kind of a place. A place where you want to know where you are and what time of the day or night. And Prabhupada stayed on the Bowery, right? Had to step over the drunks and so on. Old man, right? It's not where you really want to stay in New York. There are other places. So like that, examples of his perseverance. And that stands for us. So one outstanding quality amongst a huge list of outstanding qualities of Srila Prabhupada is perseverance. And his life stands there as a message to us. His life, a life of glorification. He is glorified by Krishna for what he did, but not just glorified for the sake of glorification, but glorified so that all of us can see, yes, he is indeed a greater personality than anybody else. And he's that quality then becomes magnified and stands there. Just as Bali Maharaj, his quality of keeping his word is magnified. And Prabhupada said it. It said it about initiation. He said, now you have promised, now you must do. You have given your word. We are like, say, I have changed. So, no, I took initiation when I was 20, and now I'm 27, and I just cannot relate anymore to the one I was then. So I don't really feel bound by a vow that I made 7 years ago because I am a different person now, totally different. Therefore, I really, I've moved on from there, and therefore
It's really not relevant to me anymore, those thoughts.
And Prabhupada would say, no, he gave you a word.
So that particular point of Bali Maharaj, giving his word and just keeping his word through thick and thin, is something that we really have to make our own. And especially when it comes to giving our word at the time of initiation, because that is where we get the closest to Bali Maharaj, in the sense that we're giving everything. That's where you give everything. Because no one thing, when you do take initiation, that no one thing, that you will be the property of your spiritual master. That's Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sanatana Goswami was had sores all over his body, and he was thinking, this body is useless. He was thinking of giving it up. And subsequently, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised him and said, Sanatana, you have already surrendered to me. Your body is my property. So, how can you even consider that? You have no rights. You have no right to it. It's my property. So that's what it means. The initiation, the body. We become the property of the spiritual master, not just the body. We, mind, body, everything. So, the whole thing, property of the spiritual master. So, what to speak of our property, that's then automatically also. If we are the property of the spiritual master, then whatever we have is also automatically his. So if he wants to take our car, then he can take it. Or anything we have. And he says, let's go to the bank and clean up your account. And then he has all the right in the world to do so. He can come to your house for prasadam and afterwards say, thank you very much. You can go now. It's heavy, this surrender. Right? When you actually take initiation, do you realize what you're just doing there? I didn't tell Rupa yesterday, I'm telling him today. He can listen to the recording. Yeah, his father is here. Yeah. So, in this way, right? Yeah, I didn't just get a disciple, I got a nice pet in, what is it, Maloma? Lots of tools growing outside, I really like it. Anyway, so like this, we can see what it means to give our word. Yeah. And I think that's really something very important. To be fixed in our vows. So because we're not accustomed to that, we need to practice for a while. And Bhagavatam gives us the vision. It gives us the vision of how we should deal with our words. Because keeping our words, this is something, it's no longer there. In India, you go to someone and you speak to some man and he says, yes, 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 yes. Definitely, yes, yes, yes. And he's lying his face off, you know. What he's saying,
yes, definitely, yes.
He's lying his face off. He doesn't even think about it. There's no more intention left to keep his word. He's not even sort of thinking for a moment in a mood of sentiment, I'm going to give everything, and afterwards thinking about, this is not realistic when it comes to the senses. No. There's not even a consideration for a second.
Yes, yes. Definitely. Yes.
Mm. So, this is Kali Yuga. We've lost that sense of giving of giving a word and keeping that word. But Prabhupada was saying, you gave your word. It's sort of like, okay, I gave my word. Take it back again yesterday, take it back today. Big deal. Yeah? That's how you do these things. Not anymore. So I find that this does maybe a point, a central point in this whole pastime, which is highlighted in this verse. One of these two verses actually. which Prabhupada combined into one translation. So I think that's what I take home from this verse. And I feel unless you take a verse and take something home for your life, you're not reading Bhagavatam.
You can read the story, oh, interesting. You know, instead of 3 steps, 2 steps, and he took everything. Wow, Ravana became so big. Oh, Father, great story, Maharaj. Wow, you were so rich and just gave everything. Really interesting, no? These are archetypes, these are role models, and we have to look at these role models. That's what it means, Mahajana. Great personality, translated into modern terms, an archetype, a role model, yes, someone to follow. So yeah, that's very interesting. Food for thought. So any questions or any comments? Switch it on, then it works.
That's faith, Maharaj, is not artificial.
And hold closely enough, that faith is not artificial.
It can't be artificial, it has to be within you, right? It has to be who you are.
That faith cannot be artificial, it has to be in you, it has to be who you are.
Yes.
But that faith comes from knowledge, and that faith comes from those who have faith.
But still, you have to have the capacity to act on that, otherwise you haven't got the charter in you. You can't act, can you?
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. And still, the power of the Bhagavatam, of the words of the Bhagavatam, is so great that it penetrates in these hearts, which are otherwise black as coal, and begin to transform things. So there is a purification each time we hear it. So hearing about Bali Maharaj, okay, we cannot be Bali Maharaj. And I gave my story standing in front of the firing squad to illustrate how I was relying on Krishna and on material security at the same time.
Well, that's just a condition, isn't it?
Yeah.
That conditioning of our past was more stronger than our condition, our unconditioning.
Okay, but that's why we sit here discussing it though, amongst each other to bring us to a point where we all think, what on earth am I doing? Why am I not taking this Bhagavatam more seriously? And then we look at others and think, wow, they're such good devotees. I don't know, sometimes I have the feeling that in the temple, you know, the deities are transcendental, Tulsi is transcendental, Bhagavatam is transcendental, Brahma is transcendental, devotees are transcendental, everything and everyone is transcendental except me. You have that also? Sometimes.
Oops.
Well, that's it. That's, I guess. Sometimes then I think I feel a little bit ashamed about that.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
So that's maybe the beginning, you know, where the association of the devotees is lifting me up and feel like, well, come on, you know, everyone's doing it, you know, I mean, come on, Swami, do this sort of stuff.
Yeah, so a fork is crowned as a friend, so it encourages you to be saved. The prayer is that, you know, you can do what you
want. Yeah, yeah. But then, you know, sooner or later you get married, right? And no one's better in exposing your weaknesses to you, right in your face, and your wife.
She's gone, good.
No, they see, and they know everything. They see it all.
Don't ask her any questions, boys.
She can tell you everything. Don't worry.
Not much to tell.
Here in this assembly, you know, you can be proud of your penny, you know, and sort of show off.
Exactly.
But she knows who you really are.
He's writing a book in his week. A 3-page book.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, so maybe Ashram will purify this. For sure. Any other questions?
Sorry, Maharaj, just one question.
No?
I just got a text from Shubha, our sister, and she's asked that her mother's passing away in the next 2 days, and she's asked if anybody could please pray for her. So she has 2 children, and she has a beautiful initiation for her, and also Shubha, and I know she has just 6 children in the old child, and we should not associate with this one, but that's their own worries. So if everybody could please make a Shubha's mother.
Yeah, see? Like this, you know, there are devotees, they pray for us. And it's amazing. You know, it's like you have just no idea what all that will do for us. So, that's my final hope. You know. And when I was really sick, they did pray for me. Like, all kinds of people were saying they prayed for me. That's good. That's amazing. Praise the Lord.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the enthusiastic class. When you spoke on the topic of coming to Gampan, I thought of Manaji, Aldini Manaji.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you could speak on that.
Well, you know, we all heard about the story, how she was in Africa and started preaching in Libya, I think it was, and which was a country. It's one of these volatile places. In Africa, it's very dangerous. To preach in Africa is not just a matter of being brave. You got to be smart also. And apparently, the devotees criticized publicly the national leader. And apparently, a whole group of devotees was shot, right? And she was among them, and they were not. So Krishna didn't save them. So, where was the Srinidhi? He didn't come out of the pillar. There was nothing, there was no miracle happening. Right? Okay, I was in front of the fire square, but then it was a ball, and somehow or other, okay, got out. Krishna saved you, Prabhu. But in this case, Krishna didn't save. And we've seen other cases in South Africa. The devotees got killed, murdered, chanting, while chanting japa. And the same question came up. But how is it Krishna didn't protect his devotees? No, we should not see like that. We should see that Krishna may or may not protect the body. The body has a certain time allotted to it. And when it's time, a certain number of breaths, then by destiny, when it's time to go, it's time to go. And it's not always that everyone dies a beautiful death in bed, surrounded by loving family members and devotees. And even Rishabdev left his body in a forest fire. He burned up in a forest fire. The incarnation of the Supreme Lord burns up in a forest fire. That's pretty gruesome. So that Lahini story is a gruesome story. It's a heavy story. But all we can say is that we are very sure that whatever devotional service she and other devotees who died in that situation, that Krishna, that maybe their time had come and that Krishna didn't protect the body, but surely he protected the soul. Surely. And all that devotional service took them straight away to a better destination. And if with great faith they preached, and then in the course of that died. We wouldn't be surprised if the spiritual world would be their next destination. So, whatever may have been, it is a little bit of a gruesome, mysterious story because we don't know everything. We don't know only a little. And we don't know why someone goes through what they go through. Why? We don't know what people did in their last life, what karma still is there. We don't know. But we do know Krishna, Nāve Bhakti Pranashati, my devotee will never perish. Dhabi, Krishna will protect. So that's all we know for sure in that whole thing.
Thank you. I just have another question. If you don't pass the test, does that just mean birth again and you just wish wash it off?
No, it's just like it depends on Krishna. Krishna is a person. And Krishna knows. Even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was saying the vows of initiation are so powerful that even someone who is not following them will surely get reactions and stronger reactions than an ordinary person. But nonetheless, generally, these vows will still be successful. They're so powerful. That's what she learned about the seven vows of initiation. So it's not. Krishna is very merciful. When Krishna is satisfied, that is the criteria. It is not that we are being measured or put on a gold scale, the gold scale of purity. And are you 10% pure or a little less? No, at the end. The criterion for going back to Godhead is Krishna satisfied with our endeavors? Then where we're lacking in purity, that with mercy we can adjust just like that. Just like that. With a glance, with Satya Sankalpa Shakti, with whatever he desires, just with his desire, he can adjust things in us if he so desires, if he's satisfied. So let's see. Asavanga, hope against hope. That in spite of the fact that we didn't perform very well, that still we be successful. And therefore, we pray for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, because Dharma just tipped the balance. Finish. Thank you very, very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.